2, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Great to be with you. Appreciate you joining us. Hope you had a great weekend. Knowles did on the diamond, big time. Softball team wins the ACC, is the national 2 seed, will host the regional beginning Friday right here in Tallahassee. That's good news. Had to come back to do it, too. That's a gritty, gutty, fun team to watch. We talked about that in Hour 1, but again, following up on that, they're a lot of fun to watch play the game of softball. They play with such joy, and obviously the talent is immense. And so it is a fantastic season. It's not, of course, over just yet, but as it pertains to the conference championship and the regular season, that is done. Now we get into the good stuff. Now we get into the postseason, and Florida State will host as the national 2 seed. Florida State on the diamond again, part 2. Baseball steps up when they have to, and they win the series over number 6, Miami. I mentioned it last hour, but I think one of the things to get excited about, cross your fingers that it's perhaps something that portends of things to come for Ross Dunn. This was a guy who, coming into the season, they tabbed as the 3 starter. When you talk to certain people over there, for as good as Parker Messick is, obviously Hubbard is, as good as those guys have been at the top of the rotation, coming into the season, a lot of people said, you know, if we're just talking about stuff, just pure stuff, and when you remove, you know, records previous and moments of success on the diamond, just looking at their stuff, Dunn is right there with them, if not better. But there's more to being a reliable and dominant pitcher than whether or not you have good stuff. Can you control it when you have to? Can you get outs, big pitches when you have to have it? And can you control your emotions? Are you strong mentally? Can you couple all of the physical with all of those other aspects that make you a complete player? And unfortunately, Ross Dunn was not able to hold on to his spot as a 3 starter. That quickly became apparent. And ever since he got booted from the role, Florida State has tried a hodgepodge of folk, and none of them have been reliable. And that continues to be the case, unfortunately. Now, I don't want to turn this into a negative because I'm referencing a positive, and that was the 5 1/3 that you got from Ross Dunn in a pinch in a game that you had to have, game 3 of the series, in which the series is tied 1 game apiece against a rival at a rather tenuous spot early in the game. You bring him in, and he calms everything down. In fact, not only does he calm everything down, he pitches very well, really quite dominant against a good team, gave up just the 1 run. I thought he looked great, and that's the stuff that we'd seen glimpses of early in the year. So I'm happy for that young man to shine in a big spot, in a big moment, with a lot of pressure. I hope it does, like I said earlier, portend of stronger performances moving forward. Because God forbid Florida State has 3 starters that you trust going into any regional or super regional, and obviously out to Omaha if they're fortunate enough to get out there. They've got problems as a team. They're not an overwhelming favorite to do any of these things, but they do present real challenges for anybody they would face in a best 2 out of 3 or a series, because if they've got those 3 arms pitching well at the right time, they can overcome some of their weaknesses each night out. Because, again, they're going to be nights they don't pick up the baseball as well as they should, nights that they don't hit the baseball as well as they should, nights that they don't run the bases all that well. I mean, they're flawed. But if you're pitching well and missing bats and they strike out hitters at an alarming rate, number 1 in the ACC, and it's really, if you look around the country, there aren't too many teams that strike out people at the rate that Florida State does.
Yeah, well, I thought one of the most impressive things Dunn did yesterday was in a couple of innings, there were moments where he got squeezed. And I don't even know if it's squeezing in college baseball because the umpires just aren't good. So maybe it's just they missed a call.
He missed a couple of strike 3s. Well, he missed a strike 3 that led to a collision in the outfield on a subsequent pitch.
You know,
and that pisses me off.
You know, I meant to talk about that last night in the Smash. Now that Green is okay, is that not the dumbest thing you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really, from an infielder, I've never seen a dumber play. Like that, what? You are 3/4 of the way to the wall. In what world?
Well, the communication's got to be better.
I understand that
parties.
The fire alarm is going off at Dick Houser Stadium, but what are we doing?
Forever.
You can still, yes, there's nobody in the building.
Nobody can go get that?
Nobody in the building can turn that off.
We're going to go on and on about this.
He is, I mean, that's not even shallow right. That's basically where the right fielder plays.
Again, I'm glad he's okay.
Trying to be a hero,
correctly noted.
Now that he's okay. But what in the world? As it's happening, going, that's dumb, that's dumb. Oh, my God, you just killed yourself. What are you doing?
Yeah, well, again, communication, that's unfortunate. It's, you've got to, obviously, scream at the top of your lungs. I got it.
It's in right field. You shouldn't be here. Like, that's just, could you imagine if an outfielder came all the way to the second base hole on a pop-up? Like, it's just, yeah. As it was happening, I'm like, he's still going.
Why is he still going? Yeah, why is he still going? I'm just glad he's all right. You are too, obviously. But
of course,
that, yeah. But it was an ugly deal. It's just it's preventable. But the point would be that pitch should have never happened because strike three happened before it.
Right down the middle,
And that I don't want to go down this road.
But
again.
That Ross could shake it off was very important. And that happened on multiple occasions where he's clearly visibly pissed. And sometimes for a college pitcher, that's all they need.
Right. They're very emotional. They're kids.
Yeah.
The other thing, and my buddy Eric Llewellyn's been on this year. He's 100% right about this, and I've thought it, and I think everybody in the stands thinks it every time it happens, and if you ever watch a game at the house, you definitely know that this is a flawed system, but they don't know what they're doing with replay in college baseball. They have no idea. Why bother to replay anything? They never change the call. They never, even when there's overwhelming evidence that a guy is out that they called safe, or that somebody's safe that they called out, they never change it. Part of the reason is because the guy who made the erroneous call is part of the judgment that's downstairs looking at the damn replay. Get that sorry ass out of here. He's the one who missed it to begin with. So it's...
Yeah, there should be a rule, whether it's a three-man crew or four-man crew. Like, if you're the one who made the
call...
You
ought not be in there.
You stay on the field.
Yeah.
We'll go inside.
Look, we're having to review this, Jimmy, because you may have butchered this yet again. We'll go decide whether or not you screwed this up. We don't need you hanging over our shoulders. See, you can't read. It's not irrefutable. I mean, you know, it's so annoying. But they take forever. They never get it right. He had dude out by 5 feet at second base for Miami. They're like, well, I don't know.
Where's the conclusive evidence?
Yeah, I just don't see it. What do you mean you don't see it?
Right.
Dude's out by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? But they don't get it right. Just get rid of it. Home run, no home run, fair foul. That's it. That's the only thing I want replay for. Everybody, I mean, I get it. I know it's maddening. It's going to lead directly to a call missed at home plate. Somebody's going to lose a game and get screwed, and you're going to want to wish that they could review it. But if they're reviewing it under the guidance of the current system, the way that it's set up, they're not going to get it right anyhow. Dude could be out by 9 feet. They're not going to overturn it.
So given where the Noles are right now, you've got 4 regular season games to go, and I forget how the pool play works in the ACC. It's weird. I think you get 3 games
guaranteed 3 games.
All right. So that means you've got 7 to go. I think if you win 4 games out of the minimum 7 that you could play, because you could get to the championship game. If you win 4 games, you're going to host a regional. I think that's the magic number. Doesn't matter which 4, because this week has really good RPI teams. The ACC tournament's going to have a good enough opponent for Florida State in any one of those 3 games. If you win 4 of these next 7 games, you are going to host a regional. Let's do it. We'll get the magic number graphic. Do you ever have the magic number graphic in the, you know, as a kid, a Pirates fan, or in the papers growing up?
In the papers, but you know, you got to understand the Pirates haven't given me opportunities to count down. We won a game this weekend after being no-hit. Now, it's not an official no-hitter because it has to go 9 for it to be a no-hitter, a full 9. But, yeah, the Reds no-hit the Pirates and lost 1-0. That's so beautiful. That is so great. Lost in all of this, of course, is the Reds did not score a run against the Pirates pitching staff in that day. But
well, yeah, that would stand to reason.
I mean,
yeah.
you mean?
That'd be really amazing.
Oh, yeah. There have been
6-5 and you were no hit.
No, there have been losses before in which a team scored a run and gave up no hits and lost 2-1. That's happened before. It's, you know, you walk a guy, ground ball, slow chopper, he takes second, wild pitch, takes third, sack fly, down 1-0. You know, it just happens. But real tragic for the Reds. They lost 2 games in which the Pirates scored a grand total of 4 runs in those 2 games. Not quite your Nats-Mets series from a few years back.
I mean,
that's still the one where, mathematically.
Nobody talked about that at the time. But you win, you outscore your opponent in a series 6-2.
Yeah, and you lost the series.
And you lose the series 2 games to 1. Like, what? That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But for the Mets-Nats that period of time, that was totally believable because they just owned our ass.
Well, back to what we're talking about, not the Pirates, not the Reds. That's just a nice anomaly. But I do want to go back to Florida State baseball because we've talked a lot about this team this year, and I've really kind of been, frankly, boring. I've been boring when talking about this baseball team because I haven't had a hot take about this baseball team. I haven't sat here and told everybody that they're going to win the ACC, they're going to host a regional, they're going back to Omaha, and I haven't sat here and said they suck, they can't, they won't, there's no chance they're a paper. No, they're a flawed team that has elements of strength that can defeat any team in the country in a series. That's who they are. They've got better pitching from their ace and their second starter in Hubbard than most teams that they will have to face before getting to Omaha. And even when they get to Omaha, if they get to Omaha, they will be formidable because of those two guys. Now, God forbid we found a third yesterday and Dunn becomes the guy they thought he was going to be at the start of the season. But they have a lot of arms, and it's not just their starting arms. They've got a lot of ways to get out of predicaments in that bullpen. They've got, I think, three-plus arms in that bullpen.
Right, and that's been a development over the last month. Yeah,
three, and I'm by plus arms, I don't mean the total number of arms. I mean three guys I would rate out as plus arms in that bullpen to go along with potentially 2.5 really elite starters.
And you've got enough guys that can patchwork together a Johnny Holstaff game if you need it. Like, you know, so if Dunn doesn't have it that day, all right, then correct. You turn to Montgomery, or then you turn to Crowell, or, you know, or Scolaro, well, whoever.
Patch it together. They do. They have enough arms, enough live arms that miss bats to give you a chance to be in the games. I mean, they do have a toughness about them, too. You know, if you think about it, they do battle. They have a toughness about them.
Yes, and this is where on Friday I said, even if we lose the first game, I think we could still win the series.
Yeah.
And what is that? That's a backwards way of defining that you think that somebody's tough. It's a compliment. Like I think they're tough enough to do, especially here. But that's why I care so deeply about hosting at least that regional weekend. You're right. In a best of three, it doesn't matter where it takes place.
Yeah.
The Tallahassee or the Moon, anywhere in between, we're in pretty good shape if you're playing the same team for a weekend. But for a regional, which is weird, and it gets deep into your rotation, and there's usually some sort of adversity that you never envisioned that you'd be facing, you want the animals. You want the home crowd there. And that's where they're very, very close. They've worked very hard to get to this point. Tomorrow night's game, you know, we don't usually play the Gators this late in the season. Usually that regular season matchup has long since passed and wrapped up, but because of the rainout earlier in the season, this is a huge opportunity to go down, play your rivals. And Meat's now 6-1 against the Gators, and he can improve his record against Florida as well with another win.
He also owns Miami's ass.
Did I say 6-1 against the Gators?
Yeah.
I meant the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
So now tomorrow he can improve his record against Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and he's been good against rivals. In fact, we're one spot above Florida currently in the RPI. We're 16, they're 17 in the RPI. If you look at, again, Miami dropped after losing to us. They dropped to 8th. In the RPI. But look at some of the teams, again, on here for Florida State, of course, that we know the series against Louisville and how important that turned out to be.
North Carolina's not far underneath Florida State on the ledger.
That is true. They sit at 24. Louisville's a team that we swept, and they're number 10 in the RPI. So Florida State's had a lot of success against very good baseball teams. And that's how they can be in a position that at 32-18, that they can still be really vying to move into that top 10 of the RPI. I mean, there's a chance they do it.
Oh, you win, you know, 5 of the next 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
You might, I mean, if enough teams in front of you slip, you've done enough to bolster your resume to say, you know what, they get that number 8 seed.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to monitor. And again, kudos to the softball team, which takes care of business and gets back to being the ACC champion, which they've now been 7 of the last 8 years. Lonnie's program is elite. They play that way. And then they add the level of sheer joy of playing with one another and for one another that is addictive to watch. I love it. It makes me I catch myself smiling watching them play. It's the kind of thing you tell, even at a very more, you know, this is a much higher level. But you tell kids when they're young, when they're playing like Little League Baseball or youth soccer or whatever sport they're playing, when you see them getting too intense, because you realize that this is just a stepping stone, that things get much more intense from here, and they're just 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. You tell them a lot of times, hey, have some fun while you're doing this. This is fun. This is fun. Yeah, I want to win, and winning matters. And, yeah, they keep score for a reason. I'm with you, buddy. But have some fun here, too. This is a lot of fun. It gets more intense. Trust me. Just enjoy some of this. They play that way. They play like they know they should be having fun. Now, they care deeply, obviously, and they're one of the best programs in America. But you watch them. They're just always smiling. It could be down 4-3 in the fifth. You're like, it's getting dicey, guys. And they're like, ha, 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 it's great.
Right, yeah. It could be the seventh inning, yes, and maybe Kat's giving up a couple of hard-hit balls, and then there's a meeting at the mound. She's laughing.
Yeah. Like, what did you say?
There's a part of me that's like, why are you laughing?
Yeah.
But then there's another part that goes, you know what?
Good for you.
Yeah, you're fearless. There's a fearlessness that comes with that kind of emotion.
It's great. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Jeff Cameron Show is sponsored by the legendary team at Hamilton Home Loans. Great rates, cutting-edge technology, and transparent communication is the recipe for a five-star mortgage experience at fsuhomeloans.com.
Short segment here because we want to make way for Ira Chappelle, warchant.com. He'll join us about 5 minutes from now. I was asked to do a guest hit this week, and it's about FSU football, and I said yes, and it'll be going on later. But anyhow, the point is, it was funny. The person who asked me to be on the show was wanting to talk about Florida State football, and I thought, well, not a lot going on right now, but I get it.
Right. You know, what market?
I don't know. Atlanta. Really, well, it's a familiar guy.
You
know?
Oh, okay.
So.
How you doing, Jeff?
So we will, and I'll do it, and it's always a fun hit, and I've grown to enjoy the conversation over the years with him. But I did wonder, like, well, what are we going to talk about? There's nothing to talk about.
You will get asked about a fourth-string receiver. You're going to, like,
He likes to do that. I've had to be mentally prepared. I've learned over the years that he's going to hit me with some off the wall projection of a player, like, you know, that doesn't figure to.
There will be a Travis J question. What's going on with Travis J?
Yeah. You know? Well, and listen, our fan base rightfully asks that question on the regular. I ask it all the time. Like, actually, oddly, since this is a short segment, I will say something. I never, of all the things that we talked about in spring football, during spring football, and in the days following spring football's conclusion, and we talked about everything from, you know, there's a dearth of talent at tight end, despite having a number of tight ends.
Boy, lead with that.
Well, I mean, we talked about that. We talked about the wide receiver room where you're a little bothered.
There's a dearth of talent
in the wide receiver room. Well, there's a mystery, too. Like, you don't know what's going to happen with Winston Wright, and he was a guy that could instantly help you. Johnny Wilson is, I think, inconsistent. Let's just put it that way for now. Inconsistent. What is Malik McClain? Did he look better in the spring? I don't think so. I didn't see him take an appreciable step forward. Obviously, Micah Pittman is a big upgrade. He has helped you a lot. That's one thing that we think is a surefire, yes, it's going to work out for him. He's a good player. That helps Pokey because Pokey's not a great player, but he doesn't have to be if he's the three. So, you know, he just has to be a decent three, which he can be. From there, it gets a little dicey. Not a lot you can rely on. We hope Portier's taking a step. We talked about the line. We talked about everybody. We talked about everybody. But I did not spend a lot of time on Travis J, who, by the way, completely bought in and worked his ass off in the spring. I would have never guessed that was going to happen.
Right. But how much good did that do?
I don't know. Time? I don't know. I just know that he's incredibly athletic. It's maddening that we've been able to get nothing out of him. When he has played, he hasn't been good. So there's no getting around that. But the potential for him to be a good player, I think, is there. I thought we'd be talking about where he transferred to. I 100% thought by now we would be having a discussion about where he transferred to, and I was going to wish the young man well, because sometimes a change of scenery is all somebody needs. And you know what? I root for that kid to do well.
But he's invested. You never know.
He's invested, right. So that is kind of a shocking thing. I just throw that out there. Again, short segment. That's a good thing to smile about. We had some things where we were worried, but that one, I was like, all right, he's still invested. That makes me happy. Idrash Shafel going to join us next. Stay tuned. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Shout out the devil on a Monday. Feeling it.
I am. We took 2-3 from Miami.
Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Good to be with you. There he is. I see Ira over there. I see him hiding down below, just anxiously awaiting to pop up here on our screen on War Chant TV. If you're watching, make sure you like and subscribe and share and do all those things. All right, bring him in. Let's bring him in. Idrash Shafel, there he is. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How about that series win for baseball? We're feeling better about baseball these days, aren't we?
Yeah, man. It's been kind of ups and downs. Lots of ups and downs this season. And I think most of us who watch college baseball over the years have learned to not get too wound up at the highs and lows,
yeah,
because just the nature of that sport. But you do want to see some consistency, and this was really a good weekend for them, and a continuation of really a good month. I think they're 14-5 in the last month or so, with some really nice series wins, and so that all is got you feeling better about things, but also knowing that they also have, shutout loss at Stetson on the resume. They've got some ugly performances at Boston College and elsewhere where you think, okay, well, that's in them too. So you can't get too excited, but it was definitely a good weekend.
What's weird with them is, and you're right, I've learned to temper emotions when it comes to Florida State baseball's regular season. You can't treat it like the way fans do football, where it's all highs and lows and nothing really in between. But I did want to see the high-end potential of them winning big series against elite-level teams, and they've done that, whether it was the sweep against Louisville, winning this series against Miami, obviously performance against Florida. They've had a lot of series like this. But I liked it yesterday in your story on warchant.com about the baseball team. Quote, "We've got the Gators, we've got Carolina, we've got high RPI games, we've got the ACC tournament," said Mike Martin Jr., "so it's right in front of us. There's a very good chance we're going to see these great fans yet again." He loved this weekend because of the energy at Hauser, obviously the success against Miami, and bouncing back from a loss in game one. And he has to be buoyed by, I've brought it up twice today, I know I was, seeing that version of Ross Dunn. That kid's stuff is, I mean, he's got it all, Ira. If he's confident, and they really do have a third arm here, they are a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah, there's no question. It's funny, man. Like, a little bit during Saturday's game, Miami was going to their pen and bringing out some of their arms, and you're like, well, dude, they're bringing out 6'7", 6'8" dudes who can really throw, and you're like, okay, well, that pitching staff's legit. Well, imagine if you were in the other dugout. Florida State brings out Wyatt Crowell the way he pitched, and then Dunn the way he pitched on Sunday. And then, again, they're still trying to figure out how to use Carson Montgomery. I think a lot of us would still like to see him get opportunities on the back end of that staff.
Yep.
They've got Davis Hare looked good again. So they've got, a lot of different weapons. And that's got to make you feel good going into any regional setting. But the reality is this team is so much better at home than they are on the road, especially offensively. And so I think that was the thing, like you talked about, me being excited about the environment this weekend, how the team played this weekend. But it really makes you really long for them to have the chance to play a regional at home, because if they do that, with this crowd, the way they hit it home, the way and with this pitching staff, they should be in great position to make it to a super regional. And this program really needs that. They need that shot in the arm to have some success, not just getting to the postseason, but having some success in the postseason. You know, that would kind of really, I think, you know, just kind of some validation for Mike Martin Jr.
He's 6-1 now against Miami, and he's fared well against Florida. So, you know, you look at this, and it's certainly helpful because I always feel like when we talk about Mike Martin Jr. as the manager that, or as the coach, if you will, in college baseball, that, you know, that this fan base is on the fence on that. You got people on one side who absolutely get it and love it and think it's the right thing and will point to any number of successful elements of his resume, and then a whole other group that says, I think we went with the wrong guy, could have gone another direction, also could have gone with another Knoll who's here in the ACC having success at Notre Dame, all that, right? But it doesn't hurt your resume, even with those people who doubt, obviously, if you're kicking Miami's ass on the regular, and that he's 6-1.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, touching on that, you know, he wasn't asked specifically about, you know, his decision to bring in Tyler Martin, his son, 2 years ago, but he kind of brought it up on his own when the questions were asked about Tyler Martin, his performance in the second game of the doubleheader on Saturday, where he was just, you know, he was very much like a Tyler Holt back in, who was kind of his idol as a kid growing up, in the fact that he got on base every time, mm-hmm. made things happen, taking extra bases, just being a pain to the other team defensively and their pitching staff. And somebody asked about, you know, what he did and how he played, and me kind of reflectively went back into signing him. And he said, look, you know, I took a lot of grief for signing him because he's my son. And he said, I've got too much respect for this program to bring him in if I didn't think he could play. And that's a perfect example. It's very much the same as Mike Martin Jr. becoming head coach. People are so sensitive to nepotism. They're so sensitive to those relationships. And are people really getting these opportunities because of they've earned them and they're warranted, or is it just they're being given to them? And Tyler Martin is a perfect example of that. Kid can play when he's healthy. He's still not even healthy. He's as good of a leadoff hitter, kind of spark plug offensively as there is in the country. And I think, you know, to Mike Martin Jr., same thing as a coach, he's going to be fighting that until literally, I mean, either years and years of prolonged success or winning a national title. Other than that, there are going to be the detractors who wonder whether or not he should be the head coach of Florida State.
Well, yeah, I think he has to continue to have success, got to get out to Omaha. And obviously, if you win a national championship, that's the end of the debate. I mean, we've been waiting forever. That would be the end of that. But that's a big if, and that's a tall task. But obviously, you've got to put yourself in the best possible position to do so. They've got the arms to maybe threaten it, and we'll see. I love watching Tyler play because he's one of those guys to look at you wouldn't think has any chance. And he, you know, it's true, he doesn't have any power or anything like that, but man, he's annoying. And I mean that in a really good way. Understands the strike zone better than most people, incredibly patient, isn't going to get lured out of the zone, gets hit by pitches, walks incessantly, puts the ball in play. He's tough, man. Even his outs are annoying, I would think, if you're an opposing pitcher. You know, you're 11, 12, 13 pitch at bats. That wears on you, and he does a great job of that. So it was important to get him back. I was uncertain earlier in the year when he didn't play and he couldn't play with that shoulder and he had a setback. I thought, well, this is probably a lost year. You know, shoulders are a dicey deal. And so you worry about it. But since he's come back, he's been valuable. Anything to hit on here quickly, Ira, before I let you go, regarding the transfer portal? I know you and Tom hosted the Smash last night. I know Michael Langston came on. It's interesting. It's starting to feel a little bit like they may take a corner, but I don't know if there's anything out there right now that they feel compelled to reach out.
Well, I definitely think corner and offensive line seem to be two places where they really like to get somebody. You know, I think when it comes to pass rusher was a position that we definitely felt like they needed to hit on, and probably wide receiver. But, you know, I think it's a combination of maybe there's just not as much out there that looks better than what they have. You know, they really like what they got out of Derek McClendon in the spring. You know, you've got Briggs coming back. You've got Jared Verse coming in, who they have super high hopes for. You've got some really talented young guys. And so maybe the question is like a Patrick Payton and some of these other guys. Maybe the question is, are there people out there that are better than your second and third team guys? And if they're not, then is it worth wasting that scholarship on them? The other position is wide receiver. And again, if maybe if Winston Wright's recovery is going better than they originally thought, and maybe you know, you look at some of the depth they brought in Johnny Wilson and obviously Micah Pittman, maybe they feel like, okay, that's not as big a priority right now as it was. Because as I said last week, I mentioned on the Smash, but last week over at Amelia Island, Mike Norvell said they may only bring in a couple of transfers and they may use any extra spots to reward walk-ons. So at least as of right now, it doesn't seem like there's three or four or five guys they really want to get. It may just be a corner and maybe an offensive line.
Yeah, and if there are guys out there that don't really fit the bill, you can't take just to take. So, you know, at this point, maybe there's just nobody out there you feel all that good about. Thanks, brother. Always good. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Jeff. See you, man.
All right, take care. That's Ira Shaffel, warchant.com, Warchant TV, all that good stuff. Seminal Headlines. He'll be doing that tomorrow with me. Looking forward to it. Yeah, man. I mean, you can't just grab players and bring them in because you have needs. I mean, yeah, you still have those needs, but if the player's not there, player's not good enough, player doesn't make you better, you don't want to take them in. They'll take you in at Orange Theory Fitness. Take your ass over there to Orange Theory Fitness and get it together. Weather's getting hot. You want to take your shirt off. You know you do. But you don't want to do it and be embarrassed. Come on over to Orange Theory Fitness. First class is always free. Get in there, get a feel for what it's all about. They'll push you, but it's fair. The coaching is tremendous, and I think you'll feel part of a larger group that will compel you to come back and to achieve alongside other members. It is kind of joked about a lot of times as a cult, but in a good way. Not one in which you drink a bunch of Kool-Aid in a foreign country and die, but one in which, instead, you celebrate each other's successes, weight loss, strength, and all the tenacity it takes to achieve both. Orange Theory Fitness, again, that first class is always free. And your first month is free, in fact, if you get that heart rate monitor, which you're going to want to do because you're going to want to see the scientific evidence, and it is science-based, science-backed, of your improvements. And improvements in fitness are something that embolden one to want to go back. So you got a lot of incentives and a lot of ways in which you can reap the benefits from Orange Theory Fitness. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The Jeff Cameron Show is sponsored by the legendary team at Hamilton Home Loans. Great rates, cutting-edge technology, and transparent communication is the recipe for a five-star mortgage experience at fsuhomeloans.com.
Jeff Cameron Show. Thanks to Ira Shaffel. Appreciate you. What time is it? Wow. Where'd the day go? Where'd the day go? I've got to get to probables already. I haven't even.
It's going to be a busy week, too, man.
Yeah, tomorrow we got FSU baseball.
Yep. In game one of Lightning Panthers. And then in my household on Wednesday, game one of Rangers Hurricanes. I mean, it's good. I'm going to miss it in July, but right now there are sports to the left, sports to the right.
Yeah, but you got to embrace and love that, right? It's the best.
Plus, it's a Thursday through Saturday baseball series because it's the final regular season weekend of baseball. So FSU's playing in Chapel Hill on Thursday. You're loaded up this week.
You're damn right we are, which is a good thing, which is a really good thing. I lost something here. This is driving me nuts, Tom. Did you come in here and steal one of my things?
It's my favorite thing to do.
I used to love hiding my keys back in the day.
Yeah, that's right. Just like you with Millar and the pencils and pens. Move them on his desk.
Well, now that I actually did that.
That was real.
That was real. I did do that, and it bothered him, and it was hilarious, and I loved it.
My favorite thing I ever did like that was my parents had a van which, for whatever reason, had volume controls in the middle row.
Oh, what in the world?
And so what I would do is I would slow play it. I would turn it down one notch every couple of minutes, every couple of blocks.
But what is going on? I cannot.
Yeah, that's it.
The Doobie Brothers were coming in loud and clear a moment ago.
What is wrong with this radio?
I cannot hear it.
It took them about 5 years to figure it out, and it was just pure enjoyment every time.
I like that you incrementally.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Like, what the hell? And that's when you're just doing everything you can.
Yeah. Well, there. I like that that's how you chose to do it. That is smart. I bother my wife with things like this because she's oblivious to certain things in the house involving electronics. Like if it, in our household, she doesn't care anything about all the kids' gaming systems, of course, and my PS5, doesn't care. Doesn't really care about the TV, doesn't really care about how to... So I set up... I'll take the controller, and I'll click it. You know how you have to... On one of the controllers, you know how sometimes you have to hit the TV button in order to affect the sound?
Oh, yeah. Like a master remote? Yeah.
So I'll click it so that it's not set up to where it won't work.
You'll have it on like auxiliary.
Yeah. It's like, what? I can't. And I'll just sit there and go.
The old Comcast remote was like that. Yeah, with the top row, the gray one.
Yeah.
So she doesn't notice it because it's aux.
Yeah.
The top.
So I'm just sitting there waiting. She's like, what? Why? This never works. This never works. Oh, no. I never have that problem at all. And then I slyly take it from her, switch it over without her seeing it. I'm like, see, it's working just fine. I just did that.
Christy's coworkers help her.
Does she not know yet? Oh, yeah, I've told her.
Oh, okay.
Well, she knows when in doubt to blame me, that it's in all likelihood something I've done intentionally, too. It's another thing that bothers her is that she knows. She's like, you do this. You think it's funny. I'm like, it is funny.
It is. In middle school, we would put the TV on the blue input with no sound. Ooh, you remember that with the VCR?
Yeah.
And turn the volume all the way up.
Oh, no.
And then just
deafening
turn it,
as soon as they switch it back.
Right, and we turn it off. And then, you know, whenever it was movie day.
Oh, no.
It was a big payday.
All right, let's do the probables for the day. Brought to you by our friends at North Florida Payroll Services. Locally owned. Oops. Sorry.
I didn't know if that was, you're looking for me or not. Sorry.
In a moment. Locally owned for nearly 15 years, offering payroll HR services, including full online applicant onboarding and integration into payroll. Save your company money headaches today. Head to NordFloridaPayroll.com.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probably?
Tigers, Rays, Alex Fano and Corey Kluber, Nats, Marlins, Aaron Sanchez, Sandy Alcantara, Yankees, Orioles, Luis Severino and Kyle Bradish. Got the Mariners and the Blue Jays, Chris Flexen, Yusei Kikuchi, Astros, Red Sox, Jake Odorizzi and Garrett Whitlock, Cardinals, Mets, Miles Mikolas,
yes,
Trevor Williams, former Pirate. He hasn't been very good for you, has he?
Well, no. Tylor Megill is on the 60-day IL.
So here comes Trevor Williams.
There it is.
Pirates, Cubs, Dylan Peters, Wade Miley. We've got Braves, Brewers, Ian Anderson, and Freddie Peralta. Angels, Rangers, Noah Syndergaard, John Gray. Noah Syndergaard's pitching quite well, Tom.
That's good. Good for him.
Yeah. White Sox, Royals. Johnny Cueto making a start. Good Lord Almighty. First one of the year. Got to give it to Johnny Cueto. Toiling down there in the minors after being in the bigs for 35 years. I'll hang in there.
Either he loves the game or he's got a Phil Mickelson issue.
Brad Keller going for the Royals. Giants, Rockies, Alex Wood, Antonio Senzatella. Twins, Athletics, Chris Archer, Zach Logie. And D-backs, Dodgers, Madison Bumgarner, Tony Gonsolin. And that is a look at those that shall reside on the bump. I had a good week this past week. I'm going to tell you that the course in Texas that they play on for the Byron Nelson is ass and should never be used again. It is silly to watch golf on that course. I don't know why they do it. There's nothing interesting about that course. It's wide open. It's impossible to fail. It's a birdie festival. Nobody has to try hard. It's dumb. They need to stop playing there. It's a waste of time. There's no character to that course whatsoever. There's no interesting aspects of the course that draw your intrigue. It's not particularly long. There isn't like weird undulation. The greens aren't incredibly difficult. There's not a lot of water. Trees don't line the course so that accuracy is at a premium. There's really no reason to play that course ever.
So did somebody come from behind on Sunday and beat you in the league?
I won the league. I won the league this week because my man Hideki Matsuyama is having none of your nonsense. And by the way, he will be a force to be reckoned with here for the PGA Championship. But I had a great week. I had him and Justin Thomas both finished in the top five. And then I had Maverick McNealy, who was average at 16, 17 under, but it was enough for me to get through. But it's just a stupid – like, when you – it's a PGA Tour event. There has to be an aspect to it. I don't care if you go low. I don't care if it's par. I don't care, you know, if par wins it or if 28 under wins it. I don't really care. I just need to know that there's a method or a reason for why we're here. Like, is this a short course that has a lot of character that requires a lot of different types of irons, you know, where it protects itself the way that old courses do? Like, you see that when you watch
Harbortown.
Harbortown, exactly. Harbortown's a great example. And the players love playing Harbortown because it's just a throwback course. It's got character. It's cool. Then the other courses are really long, and you're like, okay, well, it's a driving contest this week. Not my cup of tea, but at least it has something that you can hang your hat on. You know that par fives are going to win the course, you know, win the event. This course just doesn't have anything. I don't know why they play there. When you look at the aerial shots, you're like, this is stupid. There's nothing here. There's nothing. So, just an aside.
I watched 10 minutes of it, so I didn't have time to really gather
I watch it all because I'm gambling on it. But I won this week. Felt good about it. I think it'll be a fun week. Coming up, PGA Championship will be – this is a much better course. Where they're playing this week is good. And – I think this is going to be a good PGA Championship.
All right, gambling outlook then. Between the two conference final series in the NBA or the four conference semifinal series in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, my goodness.
What series do you feel most confident about in terms of who's going to win? Do you have a pick yet?
I think Florida's going to beat us.
That's the one you feel most confident about?
I think so. I think we're on our last legs.
You son of a...
I think we're in trouble. Well, I'll be honest with you. I think that the Mavericks-Warriors is kind of a toss-up. I'm leaning Mavericks, by the way. And Celtics-Heat should be good. I like the Celtics to win that series, but I think the Heat will win this first game. Celtics are only getting two in this game. I like the Heat. I'll give the two for that first game. Because I think Boston got beat up in the series against Milwaukee. So I like the Heat to win game one, but I like Boston to win that series. But those are pretty wide open. Rangers, Carolina.
That's, I think that's a heavy lean Carolina.
It's a heavy lean Carolina. I'd love the Rangers to win, but I don't feel great about it.
Colorado, St. Louis is a heavy lean Colorado.
Correct.
They have it in them to blow up in their own face.
Yeah. See, so again, I don't think my choice was that off-putting. I know it's unfortunate, but I think that's a logical choice.
Well, the answer's Carolina over the Rangers, but
That would have been the most. But I'm really rooting. I didn't want to offend Jamie, and I'm really rooting for the Rangers. So
You are.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't care anything about Carolina.
I didn't know if maybe the New York market might have you.
Doesn't bother me either way. I don't care. I like Rangers. I like the Rangers. I have no problem with them. I like them more than the Islanders. My thing is with the
Jersey Shore. That's what they should call that team.
I like the Rangers. I actually, plus their classy uniforms. Oddly, I really love their uniforms. And I loved it when Messier and them won. That was good. I'm okay.
It's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. But I'm all right with the Rangers. And I don't care anything about Carolina. I thought Carolina messed around too much and made that way too interesting. They should have won that series going away.
Yes. Yes, they did.
So
they've got a potential goaltending issue, too. Out west, the Calgary-Dallas series, or sorry, the Calgary-Edmonton series is going to be great.
It will be, because anytime you can sit down and watch Connor McDavid, you know, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. And that's Alberta. There's bad blood. It goes way back. They haven't had a series of this nature in 31 years, but there was a lot going on in the 80s between those two franchises. So if anybody takes pleasure in seeing Canadians get actually really mad at each other, maybe start some fights.
Who doesn't take great pleasure in that, right?
They're not always the most courteous people in the world. This would be a great example of that.
Yeah. You can get the Mavericks, if you're like me and you like them in the series against the Warriors, at plus 200 to win the series. So I would jump on it if that's what you're interested in.
2-1. All right.
You can get that at plus 200. Also, it's fair right now in the NFL to grab regular season totals now that the schedule is out. You can do so. For example, I would take the over on the Chiefs. I think Vegas had that at 10.5. Yeah, I'll take 11-6. They'll win 11 games.
Where's your solar panel guy?
Oh, I should reach out to him.
You just got to show up.
I still have him in the phone.
That's right.
I haven't made my way over there in a while.
When are we meeting at? And he'll be like, oh, I'm in town this week. Well, I'll see you in an hour.
Talk to you about solar panels and we'll flip a coin. Also, Vikings, what do you think on this one? I was going to ask your expert opinion you've got a wife in the household that is locked into the Vikings. Their win total seems low to me. 8.5.
It's a tough way the schedule is laid out for them. They should be over 500, though. The offense should once again be explosive. I mean, it is until it, crashes and burns. But I don't think this is the year it crashes and burns. Jefferson, Thielen, Dalvin, and then they've got basically McVay's underling is the new coach.
Thielen's on his last legs here.
But he is, but he'll draw single coverage.
If he's in the game, I need him to play a little bit more. He misses too much time. Hammies get sore as you get older, Tom. It's tough.
They never beat the Bears. If they beat the Bears, they'll hit the over.
Good work out of you. Good work, Director Matthew. Be well, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.